And that is how my father will deal with you, unless you each forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Jesus provides us with a very blunt reminder of the ugly consequences of a lack of forgiveness. Let us ask the question, who should we forgive and why? The Lord says we must forgive others, including our brothers and sisters. It's much easier to forgive a stranger than a friend, or a politician than a publican, or maybe not the case if you live in Victoria. But it is very hard to forgive members of our families when they've done us wrong. Maybe some issue of the past, or a case of abuse, or perhaps the way the family estate or farm or will was divided. Families can really hurt each other. I know of one case when a wife, after 21 years of marriage, and on all accounts it was a good marriage, needed to forgive her husband. She was desperate and was thinking of leaving him. The last minute, however, she went to confession, and the priest was inspired to help her persevere, and he said, although you don't feel like loving him, or that he even deserves your love, love Christ in him. Command yourself, will yourself to think well of him, for Christ's sake. She did that, and day by day found that she wasn't so angry with him or hostile, and in fact his presence became more bearable. Some months later, he was diagnosed with cancer, and then within 3 months, he had died. In those last few months of life, she was utterly devoted to him, without any regrets. People at the funeral remarked on what a beautiful marriage they had. Little did they know how fragile it really had become. Indeed, it is rare that one does not need to forgive some member of the family. I don't know of any perfect family, except that holy family in heaven, awaiting us. And for that reason, the first reading is so very important. It comes from the Old Testament book called Ecclesiasticus, meaning church handbook. And that's a gem, well worth sticking up in the fridge or bathroom wall. Resentment and anger, it says, these are foul things. He who exacts vengeance will experience vengeance. To make some sense of this, one needs to firstly understand that anger, which is mentioned here, can be either an emotion or a sin. If it's an emotion, it's one of those 11 emotions that we all experience. And some sanguine people experience anger more often than not. It's sometimes also called righteous anger or just anger. And it emerges from within when innocent people suffer or when something that is done that's completely wrong. That's a good thing, this anger. Jesus had this emotion of anger when he cleansed the temple of profanities. In fact, sometimes it's a sin not to become angry, just anger, in circumstances when evil is perpetrated. The other form of anger that we all know about is one of the 7 vices or capital sins, like greed or jealousy. It's not rational or righteous anger, but often linked to pride and arrogance, and sometimes involves violence. If it is mixed with the cocktail of resentment and bitterness, then it is very dangerous. When it appears in this form, linked to an unwillingness to forgive, then it is deadly to the soul. There are many people in prison for some violent crime that are locked into this mindset and pernicious disposition. They need to repent now. And for that reason, this reading goes on to say, remember the last things. That is, judgment and eternal life. Why? Because this state of being eats away at all that is good within. It's like a cancer that destroys the goodness of the soul. An unwillingness to forgive closes the heart to grace, causing it to become hardened and eventually putrid, making it, as a consequence, unlovable. In order to offset that occurrence, Jesus calls us to forgiveness, to follow him. We remind ourselves that the Lord, who was innocent, suffered for us sinners, and during his crucifixion said, "Father, forgive them." So we must do likewise. At a human level, it seems impossible, and we might say the others don't deserve it. True it is, but that is not why you need to forgive. You need to forgive because Christ demands it. Furthermore, you will be forgiven only in as much as you forgive. Is that not one of the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as or in as much as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. Often, it is only with God's grace and by means of his grace are we able to forgive. I know of many souls that only after a good confession have they been able to let go of the past and forgive from the heart. As oil works the rusted cogs of a wheel, so grace can move the most difficult hearts. One heart that was moved to forgive much, who had suffered much and received many graces, was Josephine. I'm here thinking of Josephine Bakita, the African. She's a saint in the church, born around the year 1869 in the Sudan. Now, at the age of 9, a tender age, she was kidnapped by slave traders and forced to walk barefoot 960 kilometers. Often she was beaten on the way. Eventually, she'd be sold as a slave 5 times. And on one occasion was taken by a woman and her husband, who was a Turkish general. And there in this home or house, she was beaten or flogged every day. As a result of this, she bore on her body 144 scars. Eventually, in 1882, she was bought by an Italian merchant who then returned to Italy. He was a Christian, a Catholic, and she learned a new meaning of the word master and father. She was eventually introduced to Christianity and was able to call God her father in heaven. He gave her, the Lord, the grace to forgive those who had abused her for so long in so many different ways. Her heart opened to God's grace, and eventually when she was released from her service, became a nun, a Kenosian nun, and lived a very holy life to her death in 1947. We ask her to help us forgive those who have hurt us. We ask her to give us the inspiration, the ability to let go of the past and to trust in God's grace regarding the future. She did, and she was canonized by John Paul II in the year 2000. Let us never lose heart, but to trust in that grace, seeking God's will before our own.